Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans 8. How many people love Romans chapter 8? That was weak. But if you don't, you should read it, and then you might. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. I'll give you something else funny. There was a girl quoting a scripture one time in church, and she said, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And after church, Shane Hensley said, a joint heir, is that a split in? All right, Shane, let's start all over. Joint heir with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. You can be seated. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you believe that you are son of God, say yeah. If you believe that you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then say yeah. If you believe that you are part of the church and that this church that he built, the gates of hell will not prevail against it, then say yeah. If you believe that no weapon formed against you will prosper, say yeah. If you believe that now that you have been born again, God has chosen you for a purpose, and that purpose is kingdom expansion, and he wants to use you in some avenue, then shout yeah. Okay, so we believe that. We believe all that. We believe that we're not a distant relative of God, but we are actually sons of God. And because we are sons of God, we are heirs of God. That's how close we are. We are in the wheel. We are in the heirship. We get the inheritance. That's how close we are. We're not excluded. We're not one of the kids that didn't do right and we've got knocked out of the inheritance. No, we are the ones that he has given it all to. And because we are in that place, it puts a very particular possibility on us. There's a lot that can happen if we really believe what I just said. If we really believe that we are born again of the water and of the Spirit, and that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens our mortal body. The same Spirit. It's not another Spirit, but we are one with that Spirit. As Jesus would pray in the book of John, he would say, make them one as we are one. So we come into unity with the purpose of the Father, and we come in that unity through the work of Jesus Christ. Say yeah. All right, so if we understand that, can we be all of that and be glorified and sanctified and justified and set apart? Now let me ask you this. Do you think you can believe all of that and still mess it up sometimes? Say yeah. All right, let me ask you a question. How can that be? How can I say I'm more than a conqueror, but I still get conquered? We are still in this. We have a treasure. Where's it at? It's in an earthen vessel. I want to talk to you a little bit you'll figure out where this sermon came from. Sunday, Chandler wasn't here. Everybody say boo. And I decided that I said, Dave, Chandler's not going to be there. I'm going to play the bass. I haven't played the bass in years. Hadn't touched one for years. And things have changed a lot. Chord progressions have changed. The way they play has changed. When I played the bass, I played in a little country church, and you didn't have anything that you had to put in your ear. As a matter of fact, you played by ear. We didn't have any notes in front of us. We didn't have any keys. We didn't have anything. They just got up there and they'd cough and say, boys, find me. Anybody ever been in church like that where they're like, just find me? I don't sing in key. I sing in letter. I open up and let her fly. You're like, all right. But I read something really interesting. Playing music by ear is widely considered a deeply intuitive and subconscious process. And it truly is. You do it without even thinking about it. There has been times in the middle of a church service, I can't explain it, but some people can attest to this, that you really didn't know exactly what the song was, but you just hit the notes right. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever played music by ear? It's totally different. Well, I want to let y'all know, Sunday was not subconscious at all for me. I was very conscious of what was going on. My brain was fully involved. It was looking, and it really got involved if I hit a bad note and Ian looked over. And I want to jump up and say, I gave you life, boy, quit. But I did. It's a subconscious thing. But here's the thing. For it to be subconscious, it has to first be. So what you do is you put it in your brain, and then eventually, your brain is amazing. Look at the person beside, never mind. I see who some of y'all are sitting beside. Your brain is amazing. How many people, by the raising of your hand, have ever experienced deja vu? Raise your hand if you've ever experienced deja vu. How many people, by the raising of hands, have ever experienced deja vu? You know the reason they say that we experience that? It's not a glitch in the Matrix, by the way, just to help you out, all you geeks. What they say that has happened is when we go into a room, our brain analyzes everything without us even realizing it, because your brain is made to protect you. And it picks up every little detail. And so odds are, when you say, this has happened before, your subconscious has picked up a very, it's so close that you go, I know exactly what's getting ready to happen. And it's because you subconsciously, you pick all this stuff up. Now, why are you telling us? It's not a psychology class, I promise. But you have confirmed your identity in Christ. You spoke when I said, do you believe you're a son of God? You said, yeah. You did that consciously. Everybody in here, nobody was asleep. Everybody was, and you did that in your conscious mind. So when you do that, you do it consciously. There is also a subconscious in you. How many people have ever flew off the handle before you realize what happened? Raise your hand. Look around at all the tempers. It's interesting that you do that because, believe this or not, you have a default mode. You have some things in you that are intuitive. They happen without you even realizing it. And some people just know how to push your buttons. Now, to you very humble people, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to most of everybody else. There are certain things that really know how to push your buttons. How many people have ever said, you know what really gets on my nerves? Raise your hand if you ever said that statement. How many people said it today? Some people got their hands up. You know what really gets on my, and what it is there is a part of you, and sometimes that part lays dormant. And it's very important that we realize this lesson, because here's what's going to happen. Now, have you ever quoted this scripture? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life with which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. How many people believe that you have been crucified with Christ and the old man is dead? Raise your hand. Then how come sometimes... How come sometimes it doesn't seem like the old man is dead and something rises up in you, and when it rises up in you, you say, man, I'm in trouble. I thought I had that. Let me tell you what the devil does with this. The devil will twist it on you, and he will make you question your salvation over issues. Can I get an amen? You'll begin to wonder when doubt creeps in and when things begin to come in, you will question whether your salvation really took or not. I went to the altar. I made my confession. I wasn't joking. I was serious. I really believe and I really want to follow him. But it seems like there's something in the background, and every now and then that thing in the background comes to the foreground and lets me know that I'm in trouble in some places. But instead of the devil making you question your salvation, what that's designed to do is let you realize no matter how good you get, you still need a Savior. No matter how well you can behave, you still need the blood of Jesus. No matter how well and no matter how much humility you can show, you still need the blood of Jesus to make it into heaven, because it's not by your works, it's by his grace. This is important to note. But there is still an issue. And when that happens, there has to be a gauge that shows us where we are in our walk with God. The enemy will jump all over that. But what it's showing us, Doug, is there's something still down there dormant that needs to be converted. You make this, and when you make your confession, you're not joking. You're serious. But there's times when you don't act like a Christian. There's other times when you don't react like a Christian. Let me tell you this, it's easier to act like a Christian than to react like a Christian. Everybody say amen. Let me give you an example. You could probably walk over and kind of smart Autumn off. You could go over there and smart her off, probably. I mean, she seems like an humble person. Now, if you know any different, don't tell me. Go over there and do something mean to little Tucker. Go do something to her kid. How do you think that's going to go for you? Somebody go try it. See how this pans out. Let's just see how this plays out right now. Put her to the test. Because there are certain things that make us react differently, right? There's times when you think you got it, but then fear moves in. Anybody ever had fear move in as a believer? Fear moves in. Anybody ever had doubt move in? You're a believer, but doubt moves in. You ever had an issue in your life where you're like, man, I've been doing really good, and all of a sudden something takes you just totally sideways, and the next thing you know, you're wondering. You're like, I need to go to the altar. Not only go to the altar, I may need to get rebaptized. I may need to get all fixed. There's a part of you, and this is so interesting, because psychology is finally catching up with the Bible. Science is finally catching up with the Bible, and if you don't believe it, you're not watching. This is a side note. Can I give you a side note real quick? Can I give you a side note real quick?
I'm ready.
Okay, good. Nobody else was but you. So I was talking to a guy today, and as we were talking, he said, I want to believe the Bible, but I believe in the Big Bang. I said, me too. Me too. He said, you believe in a Big Bang. I said, there's only two options. Either there was a Big Bang or there's multiverses. And he was like, really? Man, we was into it. We got in deep. We got in quantum Christianity. We got in electrons. We got in say that mountain, be that moon. Man, it was fun. It was so fun. He said, so you believe in a Big Bang? He said, but do you believe the Big Bang happened when God spoke it? I said, absolutely. That there's the uncaused cause. So there has to be something that spoke it into existence. And then, man, I'm excited. I'm really excited about this, because I've been talking to this guy, and I called him today, and I said, hey, man, did you watch that video? He said, yeah, man. I went home and told my wife. He said, man, I'm really interested. So we're getting interested in this stuff, because what it is, the world thinks that anything secular is not going to prove it. I'm telling you, if it's true, the only way that they can ever bring truth is if it lines up with this, because it's true. Can I get an amen? Because that's the way it works. And I went through the continuum, and I went through time, space, and matter. I did the whole Kent Hovind thing. I went through all of that and how they come into one place at one time, and that's in the beginning, and went through. Man, it was really, really fun. And all this stuff is starting to catch up. Well, psychology is finally catching up and starting to figure out that there are parts of you that the Bible had this a long time ago. And I know this has been around for quite a few years, but it's relatively new on the grand scheme of things. Conscious and subconscious. The Bible has been talking about your flesh and your spirit. It's been talking about the heart and the mind. It's been talking about all of this stuff long before any of these people ever started studying the human brain. How could God line this up so right? I'm telling you, because he created it, and when he wrote it in his book, he knew exactly what he was talking about. So there is part of you that is a default mode that God's wanting to do something with. You have made a conscious, you have made a profession, you have made a confession, you have said it, but there's part of you that's still running this old program. Amen. And if you want to see somebody's old program come out, go over there and mess with her kid. You will see an old program come out. And that thing has been in there for a long time. It was shaped, and it was, I don't, any questions? Your mama did the best to raise you right. And she still wound up praying for you. For years she prayed for you. She still prays for you. And there's some things in you that you've seen when you were a kid that he didn't see when he was a kid. And there's things programmed in you that he didn't see. So there's something always running in the background. But that thing in the background needs to be fixed too. And this is the process called sanctification. And what we got to understand is, as we talk today, sanctification is a process. Nobody comes to Jesus and gets it all right at once. It's a process. This process begins to change. There are things in you. We used to sing the song, and I didn't know it was so had so much revelation when I was a kid, but we used to sing a song that went, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." And the truth is, he's still working on you. Thank God he loved you so much that just because you didn't get it all right, and as you have confessed tonight, you still don't have it all right, he's still willing to make the vessel again and again and again and again and again. That's the grace of God. But the heart is the issue. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Most psychologists, most scholars agree that when the Bible is talking about the heart, it is not talking about a blood pumping organ. It is talking about your subconscious, where your emotions are, where your feelings are, where all that stuff is, your will, your intellect, all that abides in there. But that part of you needs to be worked on. How do you do it? How do you fix it? Is anybody in here, you don't have to raise your hand because I already know the answer is a rhetorical question. I already know, but I'm going to ask you anyway. How many people in here are fighting battles that you thought you would not be fighting at this stage in your life? You thought, man, I've been saved a long time, been running for Jesus for a long time. They used to sing that song. Remember that song, Dave? And I ain't got tired yet. And sometimes I said, well, I'm pretty tired. Sometimes you get tired. That part of you, okay. I talk to myself. I give myself pep rallies. I try to encourage myself sometimes. I'm like, come on, Damon. You got this, buddy. You got this. Let's go. Come on, man. Don't mess this up. Don't do nothing goofy. Don't do nothing silly. You know the word I'm wanting to use, right? Don't do anything Don't do anything like that. Just make it right. Do it right. You got this. You are a pastor. I tell myself that. I have these conversations with myself. And sometimes there is a part of me. I want you guys to raise your hand if this has ever happened. Have you ever knew that your wife was in a bad mood and you went in there saying, I am not going to say anything. I'm not going to do it. And you know what? You got in there and you know what you did? Raise your hand if you ever did it. You ever did it. Raise your hand if you ever regretted it. Leave your hand up. There you go. Leave your hand up if you regretted it. You said, I'm not. You talked. You talked yourself up. You gave yourself a pep rally. Yeah. I remember one time in particular, I made up my mind. I knew Tracy's not here, so I can preach like this. Tracy, don't listen to this one. Stop right now. All right. I knew it. I knew Tracy was in. I knew she's having a bad day. And I said, I'm not messing this up. And she came in there and she said something. I said, oh, okay, it's okay. And she came in there again. She said something else. I said, oh, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, we're good. We're good. And man, I was so nice. I heard her talking to somebody on the phone. She said, he will not let me be mad at him today. Yeah. 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 This year I've been married 30 years. I can only remember that happened one time. You know why? Because I go to my default mode. There's been other times when I said, oh, I'm gonna go. It's on. Bad move, default. Get it out of the way. You'll regret it. Because that's what happens. When the default mode, when your subconscious just does what it does, you know what happens? You get guilt. And you get regret. Come on, say amen. Watch this. How do I change it? How do I change that part of me that I've been fighting with for so long? Do you want to know? No. Everybody's like, no. I'm fine rolling the way I've been rolling. It's got me this far. Psalms 4:4. Stand in awe and sin not. That's interesting, ain't it? Ain't that interesting wording? Stand in awe and don't sin. That's interesting, ain't it? Stand in awe. Man, I stand in awe of him. Don't you? He says, and don't sin. Don't sin. The Bible says be angry, but sin not. We got the angry part down. It's the sin and not part that's difficult. Watch this. Commune with your own, say it out loud, heart. Commune with your own heart. I'm telling you, this is not telling you to walk around. Hey, guy. That's not what it's telling you. It's telling you to talk to that part of you, saying commune with it. Talk to it. So if you talk to yourself, it's okay. If you answer, that may be a little different story. I told myself the other day, I said, self, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Commune with your own heart. Commune with your own heart. This is different because something is communicating with something else. So what's it saying? It's saying consciously, do this on purpose. Talk to that part of you. Why would the psalmist tell us to do this? Because this is the way you overcome sin. That thing in you, whatever that thing is, whatever we want to call it, flesh, whatever you want to call it, that thing in you needs to be communicated to. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye by the... Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you know what renewing means? It means reprogramming. It means taking that old program and reprogram. The only way to do that is you got to have a new program to put in. Because if you don't have a new program, the old program will keep running. So what is the new program? The new program is communication. The new program is words. What kind of words do we need to be speaking to ourselves so that we don't sin? I'm going to tell you what kind of. It's His word. Because when I communicate His word to my heart, it's not just memorizing scripture. That's one thing, and that's a good thing. But when you memorize it, it's in your brain. Somehow, you got to get it from your brain to your heart. There are people that understand and can quote scripture, but they haven't been born again. Because memorizing scripture that doesn't save you. But He said, "Thy word, O God, hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." So it's got to get somehow, it's got to get from your head to your heart. How do you get there? You've got to start speaking it. You've got to start communicating it. Not just listening to me yell at you 2 times a week, but you need to be in His word and meditating on it day and night. Matthew, this is interesting. How long have I been? This is so fun. Are y'all having fun? I'm having fun. Johnny said, go ahead. Matthew 14, 17, and 18. It's what the old, let me tell you how the old writers used to teach this. And they said to him, "We have here but how many loaves? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You ever made this statement before? You said, "Man, I got a lot of thoughts swimming around in my head." Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever heard somebody say that? Yeah, come on, raise your hand if you ever heard that. So you got these thoughts swimming around in your head. You know why we say that? Because the ancient people used to teach that thoughts were like fish. Now, this is the way they would teach this. They would teach this as the 5 loaves were your 5 senses, and the 2 fishes was your conscious and your subconscious. So what Jesus said was, what did He tell them when they told Him what He had? He said, bring it to Me. Bring it to Me. Bring your 5 senses. Bring your consciousness. This is how they taught it. I mean, which is interesting. I think it's kind of interesting, don't you? But He said, well, in other scriptures, there was different amounts. I think some people have more flesh and some people have more brains. They said to Him, watch this next verse, verse 18. He said, bring them hither to Me. Now, whether you believe that that's the analogy that we're trying to get across or not, I will tell you this. God wants you to bring your 5 senses, and He wants to bring every bit of your thought process to Him. Not just part of you, all of you. Because you know what we try to do? We try to hide. Sometimes we try to hide who we are from God. I know we hide it from each other. Your world be falling apart. Hey, how's it going? Great, great, great. God bless you. How are you today? Wonderful, wonderful. And then your spouse comes behind you. They're doing horrible. I don't know what world they're talking about. You say, well, I'm talking by faith. Sometimes you just need to bring it all to Him. When it's falling apart, when there's something in you that's broken, you need to bring it to Him. You need to say, you know what, God, there's something in me that's messed up. He said, bring it to Me. Bring it to Me. Because if we give Him all of it, then a miracle can happen and people will be fed. If we bring Him all of it, but He wants absolutely all of it. So how are you going to get there? How are you going to change this part of you? Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. Notice it is a hearing is not. Notice it doesn't say faith comes by because you heard it. It's not about you hearing it one time. It's about hearing it. Faith comes by hearing. It's perpetual. It's constant. So the way we get faith is by hearing God's word. Now, listen real close. You don't have to come to church to hear the word. As a matter of fact, some people go to church and they don't hear the word. Ain't that scary? Can I tell what you texted me the other day, Doug? Me and Doug's having a conversation the other day, and he asked me, hey, man, can I do this? I sent him a scripture. I didn't say yes or no. I sent him a scripture. I didn't write it. I sent him a scripture. You know what he texts back to me? He said, I'm going to find a church that has a pastor that don't know the Bible so I can do what I want. I know he's joking. At least I hope. The thing is, man, when God's word comes forth and we hear it, you don't have to be here to hear it. You can speak it yourself. You can meditate on it day and night. Joshua 1 and 8. Y'all ready? Come on, Aaron. Go ahead and get up here. You'll probably be up here for an hour. Joshua 1 and 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I'm not talking about Eastern meditation. I'm talking about you. If you look this word up, it is musing. You take this and you speak it to yourself. This meditation is you speak God's word to yourself. And let me tell you what's going to happen with you. Your default will begin to change. Because what happens is that thing don't know good and evil. It just knows the way it's been trained. It just knows how it feels. You know what people tell me sometimes? I can't change the way I feel. Really? You can't change the way you feel. Yes, you can. Let me tell you how you can. You put God's word in your heart, it will change the way you feel about certain things. Because when you got God's word in your heart, let me tell you, you will love what God loves, but you will also dislike what God dislikes. Because when that spirit gets in you, there is good, there is evil, there is righteous, and there is unholy. Something in you begins to change. So listen real close. If I am plugging myself up into things that form me and my old nature, do you really think my new nature is going to do any better than what it's doing right now? But if I will unplug from those things, because my mind is picking up on a lot more than I realize it's picking up on. But if I unplug from those things and plug into the Word of God, do you think that my life for the kingdom is going to change? Let me answer. Absolutely, positively. Your reaction will change. Your praise will change. Your thought process will change. But as long as I am plugged up to the things that feed my old nature, I'm going to be in trouble. You ever been around somebody that's just jumpy? Anybody here jumpy? Donna, you jumpy? Anybody else jumpy? Tommy, I know Tommy's jumpy. You jumpy? Where's Leslie at? Eugene, is he pretty jumpy at home? He was at work. We had a high wall one day, Zach, and it was questionable whether we should be working around it. And Eugene, an electrician, walked out there, and they were both a little jumpy at that time. The electrician, a lot worse than Eugene. They're walking out to look to look at this wall, and I don't know who brought them, but there were some firecrackers. Jeremy, I said, watch this. Y'all watch this. And I snuck out behind them, and I threw them right behind them. And they about beat each other to death. I mean, it was interesting that they didn't go separate ways. They went, ah, 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 and they just started hitting each other. And I was like, this is great. This is great. It's like intuitive. You could go up behind him and go, pow, hey, You know they say that you can go through therapy and get away from it? You know you can get fixed from all the time? I've seen people break other people's glasses. You know Ellis that comes to church sometimes? He's real jumpy. So he got hit by like 4160 or something. He's bad. You make a noise behind him. Haley's dad, they were standing beside him. So we have, bam! He knocked. Tommy turns around, his glasses are broke, and they're sideways on his head. With enough training, even that, they say that you can stop doing that. No, man. I'm telling you, he does a quick Tommy. Go over there and go, pow. You ever walk behind Tommy, go, pow, watch him. can't help it. You keep working on that. You keep working on it. You keep working. You know, fear. Some people got fear. Some people sit at home and watch the news just so they can be afraid. You think we'll go to war with Iran? Do you think this could be World War III? Do you think this could be the end of it? Do you think nukes are going to start flying? I think I'm on my way to heaven. And Christy, one day I'm going to die. And if I go out in a nuclear explosion, or if I go out driving down the road, or I go out really, really old laying on my deathbed, I'm going out. But guess what? I'm ready. No matter when it happens, I'm ready. I don't lay down at night and worry about anything. I will tell you all this, though. Tracy's at her sister's house. And I didn't know this. Our bed, like, leans up. I didn't know this. When the power goes out, it lays down. And last night, the power flickered. I ain't going to lie to you, man. I was like, hey, what in the world? What is going on? I got to rewire that. That's crazy. Every time the power flickers, I get woke up. It's like, what in the world is going on? I don't care what's going on in your life. You put enough word in you, it'll reprogram you. Well, you just don't know what family I came from. Don't matter. You're in a new family now. Meditate on his word. Music. Speak it. Speak it to yourself. I am more than a conqueror. You know what? You don't just need to quote that once a week. You need to quote that every day. You know, you need to say, I am an heir of God. I am a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Amen? You got a problem with fear? Let the weak say they are strong. You got a problem with fear? You know what you need to do? Walk around saying all the time, I'm courageous in Jesus. And you know what's there's a part of you that's listening to all of that. And then when something comes up that you should be afraid, you're like, hey, that's weird. I'm not afraid anymore. Meditate on it. I got a lot of scriptures. Meditate on it. Speak it. Speak it out to yourself. This is not self-affirmation. This is not you speaking it, you know, manifesting your own reality. This is how this really works. This is how it works. Speak God's word to yourself and watch what happens. It's you speaking to you. It's you speaking to your heart. And then your heart will start listening, and your default mode will be righteousness. You old grouchy thing, humility will begin to take over. There was a man one time, Brother Eddie, he was so humble. Humility, they gave him an award because he was so humble. He pinned it on his chest and they took it from him. If you don't get that, some of y'all get that tonight. Man, God wants to do something great through you. Start speaking his word. Get you a scripture before Sunday. Get you a scripture. I may hit you up Sunday and actually ask you what your scripture is. If you can't memorize it, write it down and read it. How many people do that the rest of the week? How many people do that? Look around. 3. All right, we're going to have a good service Sunday. No, seriously, how many people do that? How many people get you a scripture between now and Sunday? Not one you already know, unless it really touches you. Man, get something. Get in your spirit. Get it in there. Get it in there. Come on, Vicky, why don't you stand in for Sister Owens? Brother Gene told me that Sister Owens fell and hit her head and they had to fly her to Charleston. If I was in her predicament, I would want to know that my family was praying for me. Raise your hand again if you're going to do that between now and the end of the week. I'm going to hit you up. I'm going to hit you up. I'm going to hit you up Sunday. As we pray for Sister Owens, can we please pray for Vicky as well? Come on, God's able, God's able, God's able, God's able, God's able. Lord, we thank you for every stripe, for every bruise that you took for us.